One, we've held a hearing on this before. So let's refresh with a summary from Jamie. We'll talk about it for a while.
Senator Haas, committee, thank you. So Senate Bill 1541 would provide a property tax value freeze for individuals that would be eligible for the senior deferral program through the Department of Revenue, save for the fact that they have a reverse mortgage on their home. And then also an additional qualification on 1541 is that they're 68 years of old, so they would have to be a little bit older than the senior deferral program. And so this would essentially, it would freeze the value of their home at the current value. And so that incremental portion that would come from the growth year to year would be what would be lost. So this, different from the senior deferral program, is the senior deferral program is a program where the Department of Revenue pays your property taxes on behalf of you until you exit the program, and this would be an exemption. And we have a minimal revenue impact because it, oh, and this is, this the revenue impact statement, the fiscal impact statement are for the dash one. There's just some technical language that was fixed in the dash one to align with the way that property taxes are dealt with. And so we have a minimal revenue impact statement. It deals with a very discrete portion of the population. So to be eligible for the senior deferral program, you already have to own your own home, lived in it for 5 years, be of a certain age, be below a certain income value, be below a total asset value, and your house has to be worth a certain amount. So all these qualifications have to be met. And then you also have to have a reverse mortgage on your home. And it looks like there is also a fiscal impact statement for the first year, $446,000.
I know that wasn't your wheelhouse, but can you explain the fiscal, why it's that large?
We have the Department of Revenue in the room, but what it sounds like is that for the first year that the Department of Revenue, and we just got the fiscal this morning, but in reading through it, it sounds like the Department of Revenue would administer the program for the first year, and that they are expecting approximately, I think it was 800 applications.
I think it said 3,000.
Oh, I think you might be right, Senator. I think they expect the number of applications to decrease. And when they say decrease, I think they might mean decrease to levelize to 800 per year. So in the first year, they think there might be people that have not applied to the senior deferral program.
Right. Yeah.
It's in doing the analysis to try and figure out who would apply or who is eligible. We know that the current senior deferral program, they reject less than 10 people per year because of the reverse mortgage. But of course, if you read through the sort of somewhat lengthy application packet, you would know that you wouldn't be able to because you have a reverse mortgage. In talking with the title companies in Oregon, it seems less than 3% of people have reverse mortgages. So in terms of trying to triangulate who owns their home and of what age and what the values are worth, these are the estimates on how many people may apply and then may or may not qualify.
Senator Taylor.
Thank you, Chair Haas. I just have two questions. One, what is the income threshold, and is that, how does that factor in with Social Security and other types of potential incomes?
I think it's $46,000 is the 2020 updated income. I don't know about Social Security. I don't know if that's a component. So your net worth has to be less than $500,000, and then your income has to be less than $46,000. And you may or may not...
Taxable income or income?
Your household annual income.
Okay. And then the second question I have is, when you said own your house, like, you mean own it outright or own?
Oh, no, you can have a mortgage on your house, mm-hmm. but you have to live in the house. I mean, I say that I own my house, but the bank really owns my house. So you can be like that and have a regular mortgage on your house. Under the senior deferral program, you can't have a reverse mortgage. Under this program, you could. But then you have to also have lived in your house for 5 years. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, in this program, people that have bought their house in the past couple of years wouldn't be able to enter in.
One last question.
Mm-hmm. Senator Taylor.
Thank you, Chair. So is there, what happens if the reverse mortgage, if you basically outlive, is there a risk about living a reverse mortgage?
Outliving a reverse mortgage?
End up with nothing
left. Oh, if the property becomes worth, like the...
If you only have 50% equity and you are paying it down, and then you would... You end up living a lot longer. I guess you just aren't paying at the end.
Yeah, you're gonna lose the house.
You do lose the house.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I was wondering. Okay.
The Department of Revenue is here. If you could come up here and walk us through, I think that's a different issue, Senator Taylor. We have worked on that reverse mortgage dilemma over the years. My recollection is there are so few people in that category.
Yeah, I was just wondering, trying to understand that if you freeze it and then. Would it be that the reverse mortgage would end, and then what would happen
it's
with
not the real value? It's a reassessed value. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, that's the difference. Okay.
Yeah. So, Chair Haas, members, Sage Shiratori, Department of Revenue, Property Tax Division. I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have.
The fiscal report. Did you put together the fiscal? Analysis?
Chair House, we did. Yeah, my staff members did. So, yes.
It seems a little high for that first year for such a small number of households. What accounts for that?
Chair House and members. So the way we put it together was we looked at our current senior deferral program and the right now 7.75 full-time employee equivalents that we use to administer that program. And what those folks are doing is that they're determining, validating the age of the taxpayer, the value of the house, the income level, the asset level, and the other factors that qualify them or not for the senior deferral program. And we've got all that data, but it's not all in one place. So they spend a lot of time validating that data. They also spend a lot of time answering taxpayers' questions about how to participate in the program and how it works. So with this new program, we're looking at the universe of people, which is an educated guess, the universe of people out there that have the reverse mortgages that made them not qualify for the senior deferral program. We think there's a backlog of those of about 3,000 or so that would come in the first year as applicants, and thereafter, like Jamie said, come down to about 800 per year. So that's where we come up with the estimated FTE to implement this. So.
Questions. All right. Thanks.
I'm sorry. Thank you. Do you happen to know when you started the reverse mortgage program, you had to calculate how many people would have qualified and then how many actually took advantage of it. So although you have 3,000 that may take advantage of it, thus the 400,000 fiscal, but if only half of that took advantage of it, then obviously the fiscal would be, in theory, half as much. So there's a little bit of a
Chair House, Senator Taylor, I don't know that. I can try to find out for you. But the difference between those who chose not to or didn't qualify and the universe of people that could have, not sure at this point.
Yeah, follow up, Chair. I mean, I'm going to be voting for the measure. I think it's a good thing since home ownership prices have gone up so much, and it would be beneficial for those who fall into this very restricted, category. I just also question why the fiscal came out so high, since that would basically be based, it sounds like, on if everyone participated, and I'm not sure we really have programs where everyone participates. So anyway, for what it's worth.
Chair Haas, yeah. Obviously, I would like no fiscal, but I don't think that's realistic. And even if it was half of what it was under the way I've operated in the past, I still think it would need to go to Ways and Means anyway. because, you know, I think every legislator wants their bill to go straight to the floor and avoid ways and means that, you know, when they have to or when they would like to. But, you know, I think anything of fiscals that, you know, approaches 100,000 or more, sometimes I think we had the old rule was 50,000 or more, and in any account, this would clearly be above that. So I think we do need to have the Ways and Means people look at it.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Is it Riley?
I need a motion.
Sure.
For the dash one?
The dash ones, the Ways and Means.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Chair, I move the to amend Senate Bill 1541 with the dash one amendment dated 206 of 2020.
Senator Riley moves the dash ones to Senate Bill 1541. Any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, dash ones are amended.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 1541 is amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation with a referral, a subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
Senator Riley moves Senate Bill 1541 to the floor of the Oregon State Senate with a subsequent referral to Ways and Means. Is there any discussion on that? Any objection? Seeing none, Senate Bill 1541 will move to Ways and Means. We're all trying to get at the same thing here, is help low-income seniors stay in their house, and it's just been something we've been working on for a long, long time. So I applaud Senator Knope's efforts at this TAC, and maybe we can build on that. Maybe you all can build on that in 2021. No other issues on the agenda. Committee, we might have some informational hearings next week on either Tuesday or Thursday, looking at the lodging tax and the cat tax, assuming we can ever get to those. So, thank you. We are adjourned. Sorry about that.